world is coming to see the murderous attack in Paris on the staff of Charlie Hebdo, a satirical weekly magazine that regularly poked fun at Muhammad and mocked Islamic fundamentalists as an assault on free speech and freedom of expression. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. My name is Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. While a dozen died in a hail of automatic weapon fire, Charlie Hebdo lives on. The first issue since the attack has sold more than 3 million copies across France. Publishers Weekly has announced its own effort to rally to liberty's defense with an ongoing program to promote free expression. Andrew Albanese, PW senior writer, joins me with more. Welcome and nice to see you, Andrew Albanese.
Greetings, Chris, and nice to see you as well.
So we were just alluding to the Je suis Charlie campaign, which under PW's umbrella is now Nous sommes Charlie. We are all Charlie. Tell us about that.
You know, that's right. We talked about the Paris attacks on last week's show. And, you know, since then, the staff at PW, led by our owner, George Slowick, has decided to marshal a publishing industry response in support of Je suis Charlie. You know, we are an industry, of course, that lives on free expression. And at PW, we were very affected not only by the brutality of the attacks, but also by the outpouring of support for Charlie Hebdo. The Paris rally with 1.5 million people was an arresting sight, to say the least. And, you know, as our owner George noted, you know, many years from now, people are going to look back on how the publishing industry responded. And we wanted them to be able to look at back issues at PW and see that we were there, that the publishing industry answered the bell. So many, many publishers have made donations. And in Monday's edition, you'll see who they are on ad pages. And we are collecting 100% of the donations are going to groups that support free expression. That's 100%. None of it's going to support administration or anything like that. It's all going to groups that support free expression, and they include the American Booksellers for Free Expression, the International Federation of Library Associations, Penn International, and the International Publishers Association. So look for those pages in support of Je suis Charlie in Monday's edition, as well as a rather striking cover.
Indeed, and I suppose we can say vive la liberté, okay? All right. Now, it certainly has been an eventful start to 2015 in that very tragic way in Paris, but the industry here in New York City has also gotten off to a pretty strong start as we speak today from the press room at the Digital Book World Conference. The Digital Book World has been at this now for 6 years and quite a change from the very first conference when we had to stop everything and watch as Steve Jobs held up the iPad for the first time. So just in a short period of time, we've seen tremendous change in the business as it moves increasingly toward digital. So on the stage the first day, we heard from Amazon's Russ Grandinetti, and rather than from the witness stand, which was probably a good thing for him.
Yeah, you know, and you can read about Russ's talk here at Digital Book World. My good colleague Calvin Reed has a recap on the Publishers Weekly website. And, you know, his talk went exactly as you would expect. There were no numbers from Amazon. There were no bombshells. But, you know, Grandinetti is obviously a really smart guy. And, of course, he's a very polished speaker. And as one publisher told me, you know, the guy on stage is not the guy that I negotiate with. And I thought that was a pretty telling comment. It's funny, you know, I think it's what I notice here is that the Hachette battle, which so captivated the media, really seems to be almost forgotten now. You know, and on that subject, Grandinetti told his interviewers, which are Michael Cater from Publishers Lunch and Mike Schatzkin, that, you know, conflicts with suppliers are not new, something we talked about quite a bit on this program, but they're usually not so public. And I think Russ is hoping that they're not going to be so public in the future, too. But I think the most interesting comments that he made were around Kindle Unlimited, which are Amazon's ebook subscription program. And that's come under a lot of fire lately from indie authors, you know, for its pretty low payments. Grandinetti, however, said that, you know, this kind of vocal, vibrant author complaints actually helped Amazon to improve its services. And if that's true, I expect Amazon to improve a lot because people are complaining a lot. But, you know, he noted that overall author earnings across all the Kindle programs are double what they were in 2014. Double from what? We don't know, but that's still a pretty impressive number. And my sense, too, is that subscription is a really hot topic here at Digital Book World this year. During another panel on the ebook subscription model, Nielsen BookScan's Jonathan Stolper noted that ebook subscriptions represent about 5% of the book business now, which is enough to take notice of for sure. But notably, that figure rises to 10% if you include Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime isn't a traditional subscription service per se, but it does function like one. Kensington publisher Steve Zacharias and Simon & Schuster VP Doug Stambaugh were also on that subscription panel, in addition to representatives from Scribd and Oyster, and they all heaped praise on the business model. Zacharias said bluntly, you know, we make money on ebook subscriptions. So, you know, part of what bothered me, I think, with the media coverage of Amazon's battle with Hachette was that it was so focused on this one model, this one way of selling reading in the digital age, and this one moment in history when I, you know, get the sense, especially this year with subscription, that the industry is really in the midst of a massive change. And I, for one, don't believe that the way we read digitally in 2017 is going to look anything like it looked in 2007 when the Kindle first launched, and a lot different from how it looked this year when we were talking about Hachette and Amazon.
Indeed. And, you know, I have to agree with you. From what I've heard, subscription is the buzzword of the conference, the way that discovery might have been a year or two ago. So no surprise then, we've had some news about subscriptions. Macmillan is now on board.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty big news. You know, Macmillan have joined Oyster and Scribd, and Oyster and Scribd now, of course, have another big five publisher. Macmillan is joining Simon & Schuster and HarperCollins, which, of course, were already participating. At present, Macmillan is offering only backlist titles, about 1,000 or so, but that could certainly change in the coming months as the data comes in. And as they, you know, probably clarify some rights situations. But, you know, I have to say I do expect more expansion into subscription because the publishers are raving about it. Not only Zacharias, but our listeners might recall that Brian Murray from HarperCollins from the stage at Frankfurt, you know, spoke glowingly of how that the subscription model is performing for him. Authors, of course, seem less pleased. But all in all, 2015, I think, is really setting up to be a year of bold experimentation, at least by publishing standards. You know, I think publishers, after a decade of, if not outright resisting and suing, are moving more cautiously forward. You know, they're pushing a range of initiatives, whether it's subscription or direct selling. And this week we learned that Simon & Schuster is also launching two new direct selling programs. You can read about that on the PW site too. But I think it's clear why they've decided to move more aggressively towards trying new things. As Grandinetti said, judge Amazon by its innovation. And to me, that's an open call to move or be moved.
Well, indeed. And, you know, I have to tell you, I was there for the Grandinetti performance, if I can call it that. And Mike Schatzkin tried to make the point that things seem to be in, if not a lull exactly, a kind of a quiet moment in the ebook revolution. And the expression on Grandinetti's face showed me he didn't entirely agree with that idea. And indeed, I think he seemed to have something up his sleeve. That was my gut feeling. So we'll have to wait and see if that turns out to be the case. Well, you mentioned resistance, and resistance has come from the digital transformation a lot of the time from a group called the Authors Guild. But this week, they seem to have put down the swords and have, as we'll hear, decided to declare victory. Now, they've announced that they will drop their suit against the HathiTrust over its scanning program with Google after two big court decisions went against them. Your thoughts on what this means for the Authors Guild and for the notion of resisting transformation?
Yeah, well, finally, some sense, right? You know, this suit is finally over. And you can go back and read my story about the AG's decision to end the Hathi suit. But I think it's worth talking about this week for a few reasons. And the first is, I think it stands as a cautionary tale. In my opinion, the lawsuit against the HathiTrust was terribly ill-conceived, not only on legal grounds, as evidenced by the two decisions that went roundly against the Authors Guild, but from a business perspective. The amount of money that was spent on litigation, like literally millions, and time, you know, both of which are resources that could have been marshaled towards helping Authors Guild members rather than this quixotic fight over, you know, out-of-print books. Now, in her statement, Mary Rasenberger, the Authors Guild's new executive, said that the suit was a success because it stopped the HathiTrust's Orphan Works program, which, of course, I have to say is simply not true. You know, there was no part of this case that was a success for the Authors Guild. I'm just going to put it out there. In my opinion, none of this was a success for them. For the rest of us, we got a momentous ruling supporting fair use. So there is that, and that could be a very positive thing. You know, but the HathiTrust voluntarily suspended its Orphan Works program while it reviewed its processes, and it can restart it at any point if it feels its processes are back up to snuff. So I don't think it's fair to say that there was any part of that that was successful for the Authors Guild. But I think the really interesting good news here, potentially, may be what's going on behind the scenes at the Authors Guild. Now, I don't know Mary Rasenberger personally. I do know her background, and I know she has a deep copyright background. And I wonder if in her new role, she has come in and determined to wind these lawsuits down quickly and move on. Certainly the kind of let's declare victory and go home statement she issued suggests that that's exactly what she's done. So in the coming year, under new leadership, I am optimistic that the Authors Guild is going to finally turn its attention away from these battles, which I saw as always being based on fear, toward more pressing issues. The experimentation that's going on in the publishing world right now, and how what the author's cut's going to be, digital royalties, and how these subscription services are going to work for authors in the future. Stay tuned.
Well, we'll have to see, and I have to tell you that as an author and a member of the Authors Guild, it's been true for some time. Scratch an author and you find someone who's got a problem with a publisher. If it's not Google, it'll be something else, Andrew. Andrew Albanese with Publishers Weekly, thanks so much for joining us on Beyond the Book.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.